Well, let's start out. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11. You can quote it, but let's read it tonight, all right? Mark 11, praise God. And you know in verse 22, we'll read a scripture there and we'll make a comment or two and we'll back up and punt just a little bit. Mark 11, 22 and 23, it says this, and Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. We know one translation says, have the faith of God. Another translation says, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. So the God kind of faith is the highest level of faith that's known. The highest level of faith that's known. Remember now, natural faith will cause you to come in a room and sit down in a green chair and just with no thought, because you know that chair is going to hold you up. That's natural faith. That's natural faith. But the highest level of faith is the God kind of faith. We can say it like this, that God is faith. You can't separate God from faith because God is faith. And faith is God. If you find faith and you can see it and know it and understand it, then you have found God. If you find God and can see and know and understand Him, then you have found the spirit of faith. Praise God. They're inseparable. If you smell God, you have smelled faith. If you've seen God, you've seen Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen faith. So he says, have faith in God, have the faith of God, have the God kind of faith. Now, if we can understand what the God kind of faith does, then we can do the same thing. He says there, for verily I say unto you. Now, he's not making a remark. He's not making a comment. He's giving us a command. He says, I'm saying unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and he shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. What's he going to have? Whatsoever he saith. Now, our mentors have taught us that you'll have to spend three times as much teaching, three times as much, you know, exhorting yourself on saying as you will believing. We hear that and say, speak to a mountain, and the first thing the large group of people will do to you is laugh at you. They'll laugh at you and say, that's crazy. You know, that's hogwash. That's a bunch of bull. That's this. You know, just get as modern vernacular as you can get. But Jesus said to the naysayers and to the believers, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart that those things which he saith will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Now tonight I want to bring to your attention that this supernatural law of faith, this supernatural spirit of faith, it causes the impossible to turn into possible. I've got a lot of good thinkers that I've met over the years. I have some of the most educated people in my family and that are around me. They have degrees that are stacked up on counters. And when I talk to them, if they hadn't caught the spirit of faith, they can't see what I'm teaching here tonight. I have been with the educated, the highest level. My mom and dad were in education, so I've been around some education. And I've been with folks that has no education. And they couldn't even tell you what a book was if you said, what is a book? That's how ignorant, probably not dumb, but that's how ignorant they were. And to them, if they hadn't caught the spirit of faith, they wouldn't be able to recognize God either. So can I get a witness there? So the person with a great value of education, if they use that, it can get in front of them understanding and seeing, knowing God, because God is revealed from the heart, from faith. And then the most uneducated, if they use that as an excuse that I don't know enough, that I'm not smart enough, then that blinds them from knowing God. however we fit in, the most educated or the most uneducated or the in-betweens. Always be reminded through humility and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of faith will revolutionize your heart and reveal God unto you. Tonight we're talking about how to bring the impossible into possibility. And it'll happen by our faith. By our faith. Jesus said, now let's break down what he said. Whosoever will say unto a mountain. How many of you know that that is a big impossibility? So Jesus said, whosoever. That's the most educated and the most uneducated. That is a small little 4-year-old burr-headed boy. That's a 94-year-old grandmother that'll use this supernatural law. He says, you can talk to a mountain. And the mountain will obey us if we don't doubt what we're saying in our heart. Wow. It is. It's powerful. My practice every day is to make sure that I'm hanging out with faith. And I don't allow faith to escape me. Praise the Lord. Remember Luke 17 says, faith is the servant of the believer. Your faith is not here just to say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a nun, I'm a Word of Faith, a Pentecostal. No, your faith is here to serve you. It's God's ability in you. Worrell translation says something here. He made this statement and he said this, faith originates with God. In other words, God, faith, faith, God. You can't separate the two. Those who have real faith. Now remember, that's why we teach that there's a persuasion in your mind. You know, it's mental agreement. It's mental assent. You can hear something long enough and you can go, yes, amen. And I agree with that. But when the pressure comes on and when the trials of life and the temptations and the adversary comes, then we'll really find out, is do I really have this in my heart? Because he puts a little pressure on our flesh and our mental agreement will go, well, I thought it would work. Again, I wish I had at least just a $10 bill for every person to come to me and says, well, that stuff, I thought it worked. That stuff don't work. I carry y'all out to the finest restaurant tonight because I'd have $10 packed in my pockets. Now, what happened, Pastor Brian? There has to be a logical explanation to that. So what has happened, Pastor Brian? What has happened is that person, they may have had real faith on the inside at one time, but they let it slip. How did they let it slip? They began to watch things with their eyes. They began to hear with their natural ear. They began to feel with their hand, and they began to smell with their nostrils and judge truth by what they see, what they feel, what they hear, and what they're going through. But remember, real faith is a person that will dismiss. He will dismiss the impossibilities he sees with his eyes. He'll see that mountain. He'll see that mountain, but he'll tell that mountain, I do see you, and I'm not denying seeing you, but I'm going to use something stronger than you, and you're going to be exposed, and you're going to be revealed, and you're going to go to yonder place for the glory of God. Amen. So faith originates with God, and those who have real faith, watch this, have His faith. Think about it now. When we have real faith, by definition, now we have His faith. Jesus is what? He's the author, He's the beginning, and He is the finisher of our faith. He's the one that came here. Father God sent him, put flesh and bone and blood in around those bones and set him to walking in this earth. And God put that spirit of faith on him as his own son, representing mankind in the earth. And he says, now I want you to be the epitome. I want you to show mankind how to use the spirit of faith. And he caused the blinded eyes to see. He caused the deaf ears to open. He had legs to come out. He fed people. He took care of them. He cleaned, you know, negative areas of regions, the region of Naphtali and Zebulun. By his faith, he cleansed them. He took care of a homosexual devil across when they went to the other side that had the whole region bound. He was enthroned in that region, and Jesus, by his faith, delivered these people. Glory to God. So that needs to be something we think about a lot of times, is we have his faith. Now think about this. Could God's faith ever fail? So someone that would say that stuff don't work, number one is they don't know what it is. They don't have illumination to it. Or they're really saying that God can't do it. To say faith can't do it is to say God can't do it. But how many of you believe that God can do it? And how many of you believe that faith is in you and it can do it? Praise the Lord. We want to stir that up tonight. Faith originates with God, and those who have real faith have his faith. And if we have his faith, then we have his power and we have his abilities. And then we can develop a can-do attitude and a will-do attitude. And we can grow in that to where that we can begin to walk in this earth and think impossibility. Are you kidding me? This is impossible. Are you kidding me? Now watch this. We can't pull something out of the sky and say, I want this to happen. I want a miracle to take place. If we don't see it written in the Word of God, then faith can't be present there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why do we know faith is going to work? God's Word is where faith comes from. And when God says it, how many of you know he's not a man that he can lie? Have I not said it? Then it will come to pass. So if you've got a word on it, guess what? It just turned from impossibility to full possibility. That's all Jesus did when he walked on this earth. Remember, he walked as a man. He took what God had said. He, from his heart, he believed what God said, and he spoke it out, and the spirit of faith that is caused and created and made his natural realm come into in line with the will, plan, and purpose of God. Amen. Point to yourself and say, self, are you listening tonight?
Are you listening?
That's the way Jesus did it. That's the way I'm going to do it. Mark 11:22, Jesus said to have that God kind of faith, have his faith. A lot of times we spend time worrying about me, myself, us's, we's. You know, is this going to work? Am I going to make this work? No, we need to relax from that, separate ourselves from it, and allow his faith to do the work. I've said it like this before. I've told the adversary. I've told my circumstances. I've told my situations. I'll tell him, I said, I'm going to give you a 30-second head start run. And why do I say that? Because it sets a mental realm for me to know that I don't have to go and make it happen. I'm going to give you a 30-second head start run, and then I'm going to loose my faith after you. So what does that mean? It sets precedent in my thought and in my reasoning that I'm about to loose something to go and do the work that I don't have to do. Because if I don't put that mindset, I'll just be like any other human being. I got to run and fix it. I got to make it happen. I've got to go and stop this. I got to go and start this. No, send your faith out. Send your faith out. How many of you know Father God sits on his throne of holiness in rest and in peace, and he don't have to raise a hand for anything now? It's all finished and completed. The only thing he's done is for a, you know, eternity future, he's already sent his word and declared what he's already done for it. Amen. It's already done. We live in an impossible world. We live in impossibilities. you'll have, not by maybe the sentence, but you'll have a dozen people about every hour tell you you can't, you couldn't, you shouldn't, and there's no way that that can happen. That's why I've encouraged people. I know even years ago, I had a group of people telling me that I was, you know, asking our congregation to be, you know, separate from the world and the church. Well, no, they missed my whole point. My whole point is this. If you want to live by faith, and if you want to have spirit of faith, then we do. We have to stop reading the inquirers and watching TV so much and listening to the naysayers, because it'll affect our faith. Once you, once I, once we become the greatest product of our faith, you can walk in this store and that store. You can go anywhere you need to go, and it won't bother you because your faith will be sitting on top shelf. Hallelujah. But until then, that's why I encourage people, don't go to this place. Don't look at that. Don't go here. Don't separate yourself until you become the greatest product of your faith. Now, think about this. Think about this impossibility over in 2 Kings. We won't turn there, but you can read it. 2 Kings chapter 6, there was a young man there. He was felling a beam. Now, that means he is cutting a tree down. I don't know of anybody that has that lingo, well, I was out falling a beam. Or no, we were out cutting a tree. And when he was cutting the tree with an axe, the axe was borrowed. And so the axe fell in the pond or the pool. It sank and they lost the axe head. So then they cut a beam or they cut a tree or cut a limb, so to speak, threw it in the water, representing their faith. The tree, the beam, the limb they put in there represented was a type of the cross that makes everything right. Glory to God. They lost the iron axe. How many of you know it sinks? The possibilities of it floating back up to the top like a float. Impossibility. But what made the impossibility turn into possibility? Well, God worked a miracle. Well, how did God work a miracle? It was by faith. He put a cross representing the cross in that water, and the axe head did float for the glory of God. Now, another thing I want to remind you, a lot of times we read that story and we think about the prophet threw it in there, and we think, dear Lord, he's sitting over there going, well, I told you so. Works this way all the time. This is just the way I do things. This is just the way I float axe heads all the time. No, that's not what he was saying. What he did is he turned his faith loose and he was looking just like you and I. Next thing you know, he saw that axe head float and he was going, whoa, look at that axe head float, man. Why? He didn't do it. Faith did it. I'm telling you, the miracles that God has, you know, allowed these natural eyes of mine to see is, praise the Lord, I'm just like everybody else. I extend my faith out there and he goes to work and I sit back and I'm going, oh my goodness, dear Lord, did y'all see that? If you didn't, you're blind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the way faith works. It's not some big expert. It's not some big haughty person, you know, up lofty. No, it's send your faith out there and watch your faith work for the glory of God. So that axe head, it's not in the scriptures just to fill up a few pages there. No, that axe head did float so it could give us a clear picture of there's no bounds, there's no limits for what God will do for us. Well, let's bring it down to a little more on the natural side, and then I'll get into some more of the Word of God. When I was in Oklahoma, I did some repair work, painting, and this type of stuff so that I could get funds, cash, median to buy groceries and pay light bill and this type of thing. I was working by myself. I was up on a two-story height up in the very top, the very pitch of the house. And so I only had one ladder. I was very limited because I had a 1988 LeSabre Buick and whatever I could tie on top of it, that's all I had to work with. I was there on a calm, still day, and I was going to have to carry a 4x8 sheet of siding up that ladder and put it in the very top of that gable. Glory to God. And the first thing my mind says, you're crazy, leave it alone, get back in the car and go to the house. But then all of a sudden, my faith kicked in. I said, Father God, I thank you. I'm here by myself today. I got to get this finished or I don't get paid. Okay? So I said, you're going to have to go with me. And I'm telling you, here's what happened. When I said that, on that calm, still, soft day, no wind, it wasn't blowing, it was just as calm and still, and all of a sudden, it was just like a gust. And so I ran up that ladder holding both sides. And when I got to that gable and put it in place, the wind held that board in place. I took the nail out of my mouth and I got my hammer, tacked it. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know who all heard me. Amen. Somebody says, well, that's just happenstance. Well, they can just take their happenstance and just go and live with it. I know what happened. Hallelujah. Jesus climbed up that ladder with me. Why, Brother Brian? Why? Because I needed help. I released my faith. He jumped up that ladder, turned the wind on, and held my board for the glory of God. Amen. See, you can tell people that. And listen, you weren't there. It wasn't for you. It wasn't your job. But can't you rejoice with me? Amen. And see, you got story after story also. But that's just something I wanted to get stirred up there. Praise the Lord. So now let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin reading verse 22. We're talking about turning the impossibility into possibility. And I'm encouraging you this because everybody in this room has this ability in you. And as I'm being led of what's going to take place this year in the body of Christ and in my life, I don't want you left out. And I believe, I believe that, okay, interrupt this program. A lot of times, people, they will do Mark 11, 22, and 23. They'll open up their mouth in faith's presence, and they'll, vavoom, speak that out, and it'll be God speaking. And their faith will go to work. Then a day, a two, a three, a four, we leave faith out there working and we forget about him because we human beings, we want to say va-voom and the mountain go pfft. But we forget about that faith is out there working for us to inherit and for us to harvest that we spoke. We'll have to harvest it. And we'll have to receive it by faith. You send your faith out there with your words, and you'll have to receive the harvest of it the same with your words. I see it like this in my mind's eye when I meditate and especially praying over people is they will have come to the place of faith and they speak things out in the Spirit and by faith. And faith is out there. Faith is just all over the globe, just working things and making things happen and come to pass. And then mankind's walking over here. There's faith over there working. Man's walking over here in the wilderness, just looking like, oh, I hope this is God. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, and their faith is out there just working everything. Yes, give up on their faith. But now once your faith is working and bringing that in from the supernatural realm to the natural, then you by faith receive what you've created with your faith. It has to be received. Do you see that? Did that help you? What about Jesus? Let me give you an example. There's Jesus. He's walking around the earth and he says, guys, look at that temple right there. Tear it down 3 days. I'll build it right back up. Okay, what was he doing? What was he doing? He had found where it was written about his resurrection, and he was going over and over that and promoting that to his own mind and his own self and declaring what was going to happen to him. He was harvesting while he was just operating normally. He spoke up one time. He said, y'all remember Jonah? And everybody said, yeah, we remember Jonah. Yeah, Jonah. He said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, just like he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. What was he doing? He had read where he's going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. What was he doing? What was he doing? He was rehearsing what was going to take place in his life. He was harvesting that word that was written for him. Can I get a witness in the house?
Yes.
Glory to God. So I'm getting about 3 miles ahead of myself here. But when you read your word of promise, when you read it in the word of God, remember God can't lie. And in that word of promise that comes to you, God just handed you his faith. That's how you know you have his faith. He handed you his word on your subject or your situation. He handed you the answer. And with the answer comes his ability. That's his faith. And Jesus said, when you have the word and his faith is on the scene, what your part now is to believe that word that come to you and say it out of your mouth just like he would say it, homologio, say the same thing that God would say, and it'll do the same thing that it did for God. Hallelujah. So then we go forth rehearsing. For as Jonah was in the heart of the earth, or the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So shall the Son of Man. Hey, Jesus was the Son of God, but yet he was 100% man. He was about to give up his eternal spirit. He's about to give up his God life and die spiritually and go in the hands of Satan for 3 days. Why was he rehearsing that? He was reminding God, first of all, you said I was going to only be there 3 days. He was reminding himself, I'm only on this trip 3 days. I'm willing to sacrifice and give my life for this for 3 days, for 3 days, for 3 days. That's why Father God says to you, he wrote you a letter and gave you a word. He said that Jesus was wounded for your transgressions. He was wounded for your transgressions. So what are you doing? You're rehearsing his power and his ability. You walk around and say, he was wounded for my transgressions. You're not trying to get in some kind of formulation or a word of faith elation. No, you're reminding yourself that Jesus was wounded. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So that's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. Well, let's see it in operation right here. Verse 22, I'll get to it. Praise the Lord. Peter's talking to this group here in Israel. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the detriment counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him, and by wicked hands you have crucified him, and you have slain him. So up to this point, we see that Jesus, Peter's declaring unto them that you killed him, you slew him. But now watch this next phrase. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because, there's a cause. Because it was not possible that he should be holden by it. Now, what made the impossibility about that? Well, Brother Brown, that's God. That was God. And Brother Brown, that was Jesus. But now, but what made it impossible? What made it impossible? What made it impossible is God had already said what was going to happen about it before it ever happened. So, see, it's impossible for God to lie. And it's impossible for God's faith to fail. Is that right? So then he goes on to say, all of you in Israel, you remember this man by the name of David. And everybody says, yes, David. Oh, David. And they bowed down. Well, why were they so honorable to David? Because David was more than a king. He was a prophet. And God showed the prophet David how that there'll be one come and to take up the throne of David, and his name was going to be Jesus. Come on, somebody. And then David prophesied that he would not leave his soul in hell. Glory to God. So Peter was telling him, says, on the account of what God said out of his mouth, that David spoke what he said about Jesus, that it was impossible for him not to come out of that grave. It was impossible for him not to be raised from the dead. How many of you know it's impossible for someone to be raised from the dead? But if you got God saying you're going to be raised from the dead, how many of you know it's impossible for you not to be raised from the dead? Well, I just danced me a little place right here. Glory to God. We live in an impossible world. And everybody says, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't get that. You can't go there. You can't do that. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. Well, if God has says you can and God says you have it, then all you have to do is go, hey, I'm going to meditate on this till it gets so deep in my heart that I believe what God said is true. Glory to God. And I get so convinced at it that now what I see is impossible with my eyes. I'll get so convinced that it's totally possible. Amen. And when I see it's totally possible, I'll speak it out my mouth. I'll be walking in it. I'll be holding it in my hand. I'll be driving it. I'll be riding in it. I'll be looking at it. Come on, y'all. It'll be mine because it's impossible for it not to work. I'm telling you, that's just about as good as it gets right there. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. It's impossible. Amen. Now, why was that in the Word of God? Well, it wasn't there for Father God. It wasn't there for Jesus. They already knew this. It was in there for us. I'm telling you, there's just something about a man and woman, boy or girl, with the spirit of faith. With the spirit of faith. With the spirit of faith. There's times as I began to walk in the spirit of faith and I would release my faith out there and, you know, growing in the things of faith. And the first thing you're going to find out, I'm a good teacher, you already know. Soon as you walk out on the gangplank of blessing in heaven and you boldly declare the promises of God, you know the first thing is going to happen. The first thing you're going to see is not the promise and not the blessing and not the goodness and not the glory. The first thing you're going to see is the devil himself. He immediately comes to steal that word out of your heart. Why? Because he knows if I can get it out of your heart and just get it in your brain and just get you to looking at everything, he knows that he's got you. Jesus knows, and he told you, he loves you so much. He said, I tell you what, whosoever, you don't have to be a created being up there as a cherub anointed and the praise and worship leader of heaven. You don't have to be that 4-year-old bareheaded boy. Said, I tell you what, if you'll believe what God says about this, and you'll say it out of your mouth, and you'll keep believing in your heart, don't look to the left or right. Don't look at what you see, and don't look at what you're feeling. Just a 4-year-old, just hold on to your faith, son. You'll have what you see. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the reason why it works so good for me is you just say that, and then you have to turn the little bulldog loose. If the adversary says you can't have it, there might be a little bit of competition in there. Said, you just hide and watch, big boy. Because Jesus is bigger than you and his plan and purpose is going to be stronger and greater. And I'll just show you. Praise the Lord. So here Jesus, it was impossible for death to hold him. Why? Because God had already spoke it. God said it. David prophesied it. Jesus found himself in the Word of God. He rehearsed it. He believed it. And it happened just like he said. That's what will happen to you and I. Is that pretty cool? That is awesome right there. The rich young ruler, what did God tell him? It's in Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. Those are the three references of the rich young ruler. Jesus come to him, and in Mark's account, I believe it was, he told him, says, one thing you lack, and then he told him three things to do. So the three things that he told him to do wasn't the one thing that he lacked, because three is not one. One is alone by itself. He said, what can I do to be saved? Or what can I do to get in the kingdom of God? He says, well, you lack one thing. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me. That's three things, not one thing. The one thing that he lacked was faith, was genuine God kind of faith. And then the apostles, they said, okay, well, now who can be saved? Jesus said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So mankind, just man alone, impossibilities stack up all the way around us. How many of you have ever been discouraged? Have you ever been disappointed? We all have. We all have. But then when disappointments and discouragements start stacking up around us, then we begin to lose hope. And we forget to use faith again. Unless you got a good pastor that's jabbing you every Sunday. One lady one time a few years ago, she said, well, that's all that fellow preaches down there is faith. And I said, oh, dear sister, thank you so much. That's one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten all my life. Amen. Well, it made her mad because anyway, but that's the same thing with Jesus. Everywhere he went, he had the same text. He taught the same thing all the time. Glory to God. Here we are with this spirit of faith. And this young man, rich young ruler, he said, well, I've kept all the law. He said, but you lack one thing, and that was the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith would cause him to go sell and exchange and give and take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. He went away sad. He went away sad because there was no fulfillment in his life because he didn't have faith. So the disciples said, who can be saved? And Jesus said, listen, here it is. With men, salvation is totally impossible. But with God, with simple childlike faith, all things are possible. You remember the lunatic? I'm speeding up here just to give you these illustrations. The dad came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, can you help us? Your disciples came by and they had a traveling tent meeting and they came by and couldn't deliver my child. Can you do anything? Can you do anything? Can you do anything? Can you do anything? Pastor Brian, what are you saying? That's the way I preach to myself. Because when I'm meditating that scripture, I can hear him saying to Jesus, can you do anything? Can you do anything? Hit me. You do it this time. Can you do anything? Yeah, see, that dad looked at Jesus and said, your disciples? You trained them. Nick, you're the one that trained the backfield. Nick Saban, put it to where we can realize it. They're catching passes all day long. How about you? Can you do anything? Well, see, they was actually accusing Jesus, you know, because his disciples couldn't do anything. Can you do anything? What did Jesus do? He turned the table. Why did he turn the table? Not being haughty or arrogant, not being a smart aleck, but he knew if he could not get the table turned, he couldn't get something done there. He said, I tell you what, if you can believe, not only is this lunatic child of yours going to be delivered, but all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Amen. So he did. He's like, okay, well, I believe, but, you know, you just put me out there then. You're going to have to help me. So he rebuked that spirit, and it flew off of him. He was delivered. Glory to God. So the disciples, they were very interested. They thought the formulation. They said, we've seen you do this, and we did what you said. Why couldn't we cast the spirit out? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. And I've tried to help at least a dozen places about that. And when they're trying to deal with spirits, they'll go into prayer and fasting and think they can cast out a spirit because they pray and fast. And they can't. And the devil makes fun of them and all this kind of stuff. Little old simple illumination right here is help you and help you the rest of your life. Prayer and fasting doesn't cast the devil out. But what prayer and fasting does, it'll get rid of unbelief. It puts us in a position to where, okay, Father God, I worship you and I love you and I'm meditating on the Word of God. Next thing you know, it'll drive out my unbelief. Because the other gospel, Jesus said the reason why you couldn't cast that out was your unbelief. Your unbelief. Your unbelief. Casting a spirit out is the easiest thing you've ever done in all your life because your faith is the one that does it. Norval Hayes, he traveled, got in his airplane and went to another part of Tennessee. and spoke to a spirit. Got back in his airplane, went home. They called him the next day and said, "It's back. Will you come back?" And boy, dear Lord, have mercy. Don't you know that's the wrong thing to say to Norval Hayes? "Well, I spoke to it, and it's left. It's not there." They were just like them telling Jesus it didn't work. He released his faith, and he didn't care if it took 6 months for that situation to change. Faith is always going to work. I released the faith of God on that demon, so that demon's gone for the glory of God. So go back to Warrell. He said that when you have real faith, when you have real faith comes by hearing what God said, hearing and hearing by the Word of God, which is, in modern terms, what your Father God said about it. And when you believe what He said about it, then faith will be present. It'll be, sparkling. You'll feel faith grab a hold on the inside of you and start taking the tug for you. You'll feel like you're being pulled into the quicksand, but when faith comes alive, He'll... And then when faith really comes alive to you, you'll start spouting off at your mouth. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been around folks that have been under the influence of alcohol? Anybody? How many of you noticed it in the evening when they get a little tipsy, you know, then they're real quiet and reserved during the day, but then if they hung around the bar long enough, guess what starts happening? Their tongue and their lips go to flapping and they get loud and they get boisterous. Now, where did that come from? It's a false and it's a fake of the real. When the Spirit of God gets on you and in you, and the Spirit of faith is beginning to influence you, you're no longer a timid little girl or a little boy anymore. It doesn't matter if it's the devil himself. You'll walk right up to him, and you'll tell him right where he's going to go for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. That's the Spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Well, we always I just have to say it like it is. I'm thrilled about getting to share about the Spirit of faith. I'm just from the tips of my toes to the top of my hair. I'm telling you, just nah. But that's not all what He wants. He wants us operating this at home. Every hour, every day, every time something comes up. Praise the Lord.